This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Hi there, attention students. Hi, this is Surf from WJFK wishing Frederick Douglass High School class of 1993 congratulations and have a wonderful, wonderful grad night.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Surf Caldwell.
Mike, that has a story, that tape. I was going through a box of cassettes, figuring out what I could throw away and what I couldn't. And I found, do you remember in days of radio, they made 3-minute cassettes just for sending air checks out to clients. They were really short. And this was one of them. And it was Surf's handwriting on it. He was the program, ostensibly the program director at WJFK.
No, it wasn't ostensibly. He was the program director.
Yeah, but did he really have a lot to do with your content?
He didn't have a lot to do with our content, but he certainly had a lot to do with the, you know, running the show.
Yeah, and the music. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Absolutely.
But he had recorded this, and in Surf's beautiful cartoonist-like handwriting, it said, "Surf greeting to Frederick Douglass High School class of 93." And I picked it up and I said, not only is this great, not only is this 27 years old, but also the fact that I have it means it was never delivered to the students at Frederick Douglass High School.
So spelled C-E-R-P-H-E, Surf was a, for those of you around the country, was a legendary disc jockey who was a one of the really original alternative rock DJs for
very responsible for the break of Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, and he was up in the D.C. area on a station called WHFS when WHFS was the gold standard for alternative rock, and they played stuff that you wouldn't hear anywhere else, and they were really, really avant-garde and very quirky, and they had some very quirky disc jockeys.
They literally let the DJs choose their own music, which was unheard of, yeah.
There's a little guy, but they bred nice guys.
Oh,
except
great
for, except for the owner. They bred
Bobby.
No, Jake.
Oh, Jake. Okay, sorry.
Jake Einstein. The Surf really. I worked for a lot of different program directors over the years, and he would be one of the nicest guys I've ever met in the broadcast business.
Good
and I
guy.
Think that what I loved about Surf is that he has never changed his personality and his image for the public. He's always been kind of a hip, cool guy. And, you know, Surf's an old man like we all are now. And it's just, I probably haven't talked about Surf enough that he worked with Don and myself during a very difficult time for any program director to be working with us on that show when we were very, very popular and going through some, you know, some changes with the company and all that. And I just, I have nothing but good things to say about the guy. And that's not a lot of program directors that I've had in the past.
Maybe the only program director you've ever said that about.
I think maybe you're right. I'm trying to
Surf was
go back.
Ultra, you know, the best word for him was cool.
Yeah.
He was way too well dressed for radio.
Right.
And he really knew his music and he would play great stuff, but he would never play this.
Hi there, attention students. Hi, this is Surf from WJFK wishing Frederick Douglass High School class of 1993 congratulations and have a wonderful, wonderful grad night.
Because it is grad season, Mike. Dads and grads.
But he had this sound to his voice that was just kind of a cool guy, and he was always the cool guy. He always wore suits, these big 1980s, 1990s suits that he would wear. I like Surf. I like everything about Surf.
And drove a tiny little classic Porsche that was awesome.
Very cool guy.
Yeah.
And there's one program director and one general manager that that I could go back. Alan Goodman would be the general manager, although unlike Alan Goodman, there's nothing I would really change about Surf. I would maybe make a few adjustments to Alan Goodman during that
go-go
80s era.
Just a couple tweaks.
Just a couple of tweaks that we have there. So welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are delighted to have you here on what I like to call baseball Wednesday, as the whole family is hitting the road, taking the dogs up to Oviedo, I think that's the correct pronunciation, Florida, yes. Which is northeast of Orlando, just a little northeast, really on top of Orlando. And we're taking the dogs, and then one of the kids, who's a buddy of Michael's, his dad can't make it up till Friday because, as I remember, I was mentioning this yesterday, this tournament, the details of which were sprung on the parents really like an hour after, 10 minutes after the game we played the other night.
But I don't think you mentioned that it's multiple days.
It's definitely multiple days. It's going to be. We booked a hotel for Wednesday to Saturday, Wednesday to Friday night. So hopefully it's wrapped up by Saturday. If it goes to Sunday, we're screwed. You know? Did you look into it?
You can sleep in the car.
Do you know more about it than I do? Me? You probably do.
Not yet. Now that I know it's Friday, I will check it out.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know because I'm not sure how it works and whether we have to win to stay in, as they say.
I'm just shaking my head at the concept of they let you know on Monday. You have to go out of town 3 hours away. In 2 days, got to be there for 3 days.
No. Now, I have to be fair to the powers that be. The overall tournament schedule, the tournament weekend was identified. We knew there was going to be something up in Orlando for this team right from the get-go, unless we went to the state championships, which would be a different tournament.
But do you count Thursday as the weekend?
No, I do not. No. The daytime game on Thursday was an eyebrow raiser. And then early this morning, my wife received a text from one of the other moms saying that one of the kids has a dad who has to work, and he's a buddy of Michael's. And by the way, we got baseball players, you know, out the wazoo around here. We have Jace, who is one of our pitchers and an incredible second baseman. And I call him the pocket rocket because he's small of stature, big of talent. Mm-hmm. And he spent the night last night with Michael. They're out of their minds running around. I think they took the e-bike, the dangerous e-bike, up to 7-Eleven to get breakfast because we have nothing in the house.
It's a modified e-bike, right?
Yeah, it goes 130 miles per hour.
No, but has he messed with it and made it change?
Oh, they all mess with them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they mess with them all the time. So the Subaru will include the dogs, two dogs, and two kids. And by the way, Dylan.
Six mammals.
Dylan, who is coming with us, is one of the larger young men on the team and also one of the home run hitters. So, you know, handle with care. That's the way that goes.
At what point do you decide to take two vehicles?
No way. I can't do it. Okay. I can't do it.
Could they take the e-bike?
What?
Could they drive the e-bike up and follow you?
3.5 hours, the e-bike. Great idea.
Well, I mean, you keep an eye on them. You can look over in the side view mirror.
They get to the city line and crap out with their battery power.
Wear a helmet. Yeah.
All right. Oviedo is a suburb of Orlando, so that area.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right.
But it's on my side of Orlando.
It's on your side. And
the good side.
I will text you and keep you posted about what's going on, Josh, with the tournament. But I wrote it down here. Road trip time, two boys, two dogs, traveling through Florida. And we're not taking my car, which maybe has a tiny bit more space, but not a lot. We're taking, I wouldn't exactly call a Subaru Forester hybrid a mega SUV.
Should have stepped up to the Outback. That doesn't flip as much as the Forester.
I don't think the Outback has a hell of a lot more space, right?
It really doesn't. A little more space in the back and a bit wider, I think is what it is.
It is?
Yeah, right. Just a little bit, not much. But yeah, when I had my Forester, I flipped it. And I said, you know what? I think I want something wider. And so I got myself the Outback instead of the Forester.
So it is bigger? All right. I didn't know that.
How do the dogs do on the drive? Are they on your lap?
And where do they sit? Yeah.
Where do they go?
Here is. This is the other problem. Because we now have an additional passenger, we are foregoing the crate, the little crate we were going to take the dogs in.
Would they share a crate?
Yes, they are able to share small crate. They could do that. Although one time they got into a fight in the crate, which was not pleasant.
That happened with me and my cousins.
When they put you in the crate when
with
they
my
took
cousin
you on
Wes,
the
yeah.
on the long journey. It's going to be interesting to say the very least. It's going to be an interesting.
And the crate goes in the backpack, right?
Well, now we're not going to take it. We're just going to have the dogs.
But when you travel, it would go in the backpack, right?
Yeah, but you got to realize my son's a catcher, so he doesn't take a normal amount of gear. He takes
a lot of gear.
It looks like he's deploying to a foreign country when he puts his stuff
in the car.
Well,
the dogs wander?
I don't know.
Does it open up into a bigger crate?
I don't.
Have you met the dogs? They will wander.
Different dogs happen differently in different car situations.
Do they make themselves at home in the car?
We haven't traveled enough. Okay. We haven't traveled with them enough for me to give you an intelligent answer. I do know that tomorrow I will be pulling a Soroka and broadcasting from a cheesy hotel room.
That's my move.
I mean, I'm not used to it, but I can do it. I've got my thing up on the shelf here, the little microphone.
Microphone with all the lights.
You know, just when I get things set with a new setup in here, I got to, hit the road, Jack. And so I'll be doing that tomorrow.
That's one of the greatest things about this show is you can do that.
Have gone, we'll travel. He's a hell of a man. So that's it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Can I get to the Euphoria finale?
I wish you would, yes.
Which everybody has been, I hate when they say everybody's been talking. I don't give a rat's ass if everybody's been talking about. I heard the buzz on the show, started watching the show, like the show, like Zendaya, like Sydney Sweeney. Mm-hmm. I think when you get by Sydney Sweeney's assets, she is a phenomenal actress as well. I feel like Rob does about Elordi. The male
Jacob Elordi,
star, Jacob Elordi,
he might be
in the tidbits today. Jacob Elordi is, but in this role that he had, he's supposed to be an a-hole. So he plays a great a-hole.
But still.
What? You just don't like him because he's the guy.
Some things come natural. It's okay.
Yeah, he was a rotten Elvis. He was a rotten Frankenstein.
You don't like him because he's the kind of guy that would get all the chicks in high school. And
no, he's too tall.
Like that.
That's why.
Trust me.
He got cast in Rob Spiewak style projects, an old Frankenstein remake and Elvis.
This is true.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So let me just say, there were so many spoiler alerts because if you didn't watch it live, you got inundated.
It's almost a week old. I don't think you need to even worry about you were late to watch it.
The whole, and if you do not want spoiler alerts, don't worry because they're not relevant to what I'm going to discuss here.
Okay.
Everybody knows they killed off the superstar of the show, Zendaya, and her character.
I did not know that.
You're
like Johnny Carson.
I did not know that.
You're being an ass. They said
knows. For 2 days, you've been saying they kill a bunch of people, but you haven't said who.
All right. Well, it's the end. It's the middle of the week.
How did they kill her?
Good point.
How'd she
die? Everyone who watched the finale knows.
Do you really want me to say if I'm going to say, I'll tell you, but I'll warn everybody to turn it down if they don't want to watch the show.
Yeah, I think America deserves to know.
Yes. It's always smart to tell people to turn off the podcast.
Turn off the podcast.
No, just mute it for a moment.
I will go with whatever you decide. If you gentlemen think that I should... or you're curious enough and you don't mind it, you tell me. We're not big enough to matter. We're not big enough to matter. This is not a radio show anymore.
I say spoil away. After it's been on long enough, I think you're okay.
I'm sure the internet spoiled it.
Character development, all right? You got Sydney Sweeney. Don't even know her character's name, but she's the misguided girl who is the
Doris.
Sex bot. Can you tell he didn't? Can you tell he didn't watch it or has no knowledge of it?
I've watched the first two seasons.
You did.
Yeah,
it might be Cassie.
I think it might be Cassie.
I'm the one that's pushing you to tell me what happened, so I don't have to take this streaming service.
The HBO Max. You don't want it. They kill off Zendaya's character Rue, mm-hmm. and she. The storyline in a nutshell was that throughout the season, she got caught by the DEA. And in order to not go to prison and for 20 years, she is forced to cooperate with the DEA. And so she's an informant. And the owner of the strip joint, a guy named Alamo, really evil, horrible human being, gets wind of it. And he gets wind of it through one of the other characters who's a friend of Rue's. And, he suspects that it's Zendaya. So there's an entire drug run that gets exposed, and they know about it. And there's that kind of, crime intrigue. But you don't
Is there a lot of tension, or is it sort of like a fait accompli?
It's tension all over the place. Okay. There's escapes and chases and murders and dragging by horses and burying people underground that get bitten by snakes. It's nonstop. The show was... The effort put into a show like this is worth my attention simply because of the energy of the writing and the plot lines and all. That's why Euphoria is a well-deserved smash hit. It really is. However, because they get wind of Zendaya, her character Rue, being an informant, the big bad guy that owns the series of strip joints, Alamo, decides to do her in. And he does her in by giving her painkillers laced with fentanyl. And that's how she buys the farm.
That's so realistic and modern day. Yes, it's almost sad rather than dynamic.
Well, I have to tell you that in my own life, I've been affected by my daughter's boyfriend who was an addict and unfortunately got a bad dose. There was a time a few years back where this fentanyl, which kills more Americans under 50 than anything else in the country. Believe it or not, think about that statistic for a second. So they I like the fact that it is a timely, topical line
and it
of
goes
story.
Back to the beginning of the series where in episode 2, she is forced to take a little fentanyl.
And she is truly... battled substance abuse, and that's the genesis of the whole story and what she goes through and what she experiences. So that is the storyline, and that's how she does it. And I won't go into the details of every element of the plot other than that's how she's offed. But I will say this, and this is why I think our buddy Mr. Soroka might want to look in, because I would love your thoughts on the spirituality of the final episode, because it is, as somebody who is, because I was raised Catholic, I always feel there is that element in my body, that there is that part of me that when I haven't been in a church for a long time, I will go into a church and feel an emotional reaction.
I think all Catholics have it, especially if you are a Catholic as a kid. And then maybe you can even go far away from the faith. It's still drilled into you. Like my father still doesn't like movies about satanic possession. I'm sorry, my father, when he was alive, didn't like movies about satanic possession because it was so drilled into him as a kid that it was real and it was something to be concerned about.
You know, that's not my memory of the Catholic Church. My memory of the Catholic Church was... just ridiculously burdened with rules that were
that
just you don't eat the wafer or you'll go to hell.
Don't chew it.
You know, hell was a big part of it, but as far as demons and things like that, I didn't get a lot of that. But
maybe that was his mother more than church.
Yeah, well, you never know how people interpret it, right?
Right.
But it to me, at the very end, the word I put on my on my one sheet that I compose every day for the show was beautiful.
Wow.
And I
that's
thought,
nice to hear.
I thought that, and what's great about that is when you think you're going to get something from a show and they surprise you, and then it's something you felt was worthwhile, that's a good thing. And I think that's why I think well deserved.
Beautiful what you say you've been saying all season at the end of every episode?
Probably not.
You mean as far as naughtiness or something like that?
Yes, you've done.
That it's like porn written.
Every other time you've come talking about Sydney.
It is the thing that caught me by surprise is that the sexual content was so intense early on in the season that you get into a situation where You know, maybe because I'm an old fart too. I think if I'm a 35-year-old, I'm probably digging every second of that. But the storylines were the storylines, and if you see now, I'm going to give another thing. If you look at the finale of this show, mm-hmm. they, in their own little way, identify just how empty that world is, and how vacuous it is, and how I think Sydney Sweeney and her character Cassie in Euphoria, and maybe I'm giving it too much credit. I think she symbolizes our society and what we are and how bankrupt we are. And really, you're not going to hear this from me very often. I believe religion has been responsible for more trouble and more murders and more deaths than anything. But I will say that our complete narcissism and our complete obsession with views and clicks and me and all of it has hurt our society greatly. Where you get away from that is, I think, whatever way you can. But I would not be surprised to see people gravitate towards other things. It's just too much right now.
And, Let me ask you a question.
And she's right in the middle of that. Look at me.
Yeah.
TikTok. OnlyFans.
Having watched the first two seasons, and I had to start again because it is such, from the get-go, such an unpleasant show. It really is. It doesn't give you any sort of comfort.
It's just great, great description. I agree with you on that.
But all of it sounds to me, all three seasons leading up to this finale make the finale beautiful because it shows that this is what the show was about. It's not the story of, you know, teenagers just living their life. This is the story of society's decline.
I look at the plot line of Euphoria as things that matter and things that are good when you're young, when you don't know any better. Mm-hmm. I mean, the old adage of getting to a point where you look back and you go, oh my God, what did I do? What did I do with my life? You know, and that is the recurring theme throughout. And I think that it requires people to have a great deal of maturity early in their years to know that. I didn't know it.
Well, I think the maturity is the maturity is harder to get now than it was before.
I wish I had known more. And I think that I say to my son when he talks about the future, I think, and I say this to all young people, plan and think about where you're going to be 10 years down the road, because I think it's valuable. I think that applies to whether you are planning your career and what you're going to do with the world that we live in right now, or planning how you're going to live, and not a lot of people can do it.
I think it's harder now because when you and I were kids, and even Josh was a kid, what did we have to look up to? It was our parents, mm-hmm. our family. You can almost absorb wisdom by hanging around older people. It happens. You
the right observe kind them. Of older people.
Yeah, and hopefully your parents are that kind of person.
Well, no, I mean, but that's also Euphoria, where that doesn't happen. You know, the older people are the people that create these kids with all these issues.
But then the bulk of today's kids are not looking to their older people. They're watching people eating chicken McNuggets on a roller coaster.
It is absolutely true.
Seeing a shift. You are seeing a shift in 20-somethings because they grew up in this narcissistic country.
Yeah, okay.
With social media. So you're seeing a shift where they are actually looking for more and looking for relationships and
going more
into the church and all of that. Because of all of this stuff.
And I see it in Julia. I do a little bit, yeah.
And by the way, it doesn't have to be the church exclusively. It could be the Elks Club. A lot of good is done.
A lot of looking for meaning.
The Elks Club.
But so organization
church,
with...
Organization, volunteer, or, and
organization with real people. Yeah, you know what? That's a lot of what I got. And I still haven't done it because of all the things that have gone down. But my friend that invited me to go to an AA meeting...
Oh,
he said
okay.
so little
of it. That was
like
a year ago.
Well, no, it was February, and then my father died.
Whip that right out. That? Wow. Well, whip that out of the back pocket.
Well, if you're going to tell me it's a year ago, I'm just going to counter you with
no,
facts.
No, but I mean, you know, go, dude. Just go. You go to one every day if you wanted to. You go to one today if you wanted to.
But what I'm saying
it would
is
be
this.
Helpful for you, especially with your situation you're in right now.
It's less about making
go
sure
go to one
people-
of those meetings. You might be on time for the show once.
Once, yeah. It's all the time I'm late. Once of the time, Mike, they said that it's really not largely about people trying not to drink. That's there. But it's about knowing people are there. It's
I don't think you're allowed to talk about meetings until you go to a meeting.
Okay, that's a good rule. New rule.
No, you are, Rob, would you not agree that no one is easier on Rob than Rob? Would that be true?
That's how I've made it this far.
I mean, seriously,
no.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm look, you know, it, you after all the crap that I took from listeners telling you about the sugar sodas.
Mm-hmm.
And then lo and behold, the chickens came home to roost.
Exactly.
And then you said to me, I hate to say that. And by the way, I'm not the picture of health either. Mm. I've been blazing through the diets that are just almost as bad, you know, more than I ever should. But the meeting, I was so excited when you said you were going to do that, because you've done all this on your own.
Yeah.
And it makes you depressed because you can't, people need help.
I agree.
Everybody needs help.
I agree, Mike.
I mean, can I just tell a personal story here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because nobody has it figured out. And I don't want in any way, shape, or form when I'm talking to Rob. I talk to Rob like he's my oldest son, more than my brother,
or
oldest son. Let me tell you.
I think younger brother. I think very younger brother.
Maybe
too.
Very younger brother.
Grandson.
We're all so in need of others. We are. That's the human condition. My wife had a major, major business conclave that she canceled in order to go up to Orlando on this road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you that I don't think I've adequately described to her how much that meant and how much that helped me and how I was starting to feel very, very isolated. And it's just, you know, I'm not going to go into the great details of what we deal with on this show and what we deal with in our personal lives. It doesn't matter because everybody does that. But the idea of having her join me in this little enterprise might seem small to somebody else. But we don't go on a lot of trips. We don't travel a lot. And this is a big deal for us now.
Oh, I totally understand.
And having my wingman up there, and now we got another kid coming, and you know, fill the car up with everybody, because it's just now I've got somebody with me on my and I'm excited about it. It's just the you reaching out and going to this with your ability to connect with people, you latch on to, you know, people more than anybody I've ever seen. And I think to get more of that in your life, when I heard you were going to go to a meeting, was special. I don't think you need your friend to take you to a meeting. I think you could go to a meeting and just immediately think it was rewarding. That's the last thing I will say about it.
I think you're probably right.
I think it would be good for this. Not health, not booze. You've kicked booze.
Yep.
You kicked booze cold turkey. You still know it's one day at a time, but you've succeeded in that. And you've succeeded in the very toughest way to do it without any help. And I just think that I wish the best for you. And I want you to, to succeed in feeling better about life and feeling better about everything. And I think that is something that would be very, very cool. And
I think you have valid points all along the way.
Thank you. I am not the person that I don't consider myself an expert on any of that crap. I've effed up more than anybody in my life.
We are really designed to be people of community. And to be around other people and not to be alone.
And the religious aspect of it, Josh, and this is the way I feel about it. And I'm not throwing rocks at anybody's religion, but I'm saying I think religion, all religions, would be much better if they didn't shoot themselves in the foot. And they didn't continuously throw something in there about what they believe, which is not necessarily true. Could happen if you didn't behave a certain way. If they were more about hope and love and less about you've got to do this or you're going to end up here. We would be a happier society, and you have more people involved in religion.
But do you think artificial intelligence is an instrument of death? Because that's what the Pope said.
Boy, this gets back into what we were discussing earlier in the week, and it really is.
That's right on the line, isn't it? Because it is. It's an opinion,
to the Pope, because what artificial intelligence is doing for society right now is it's separating us and making us lonely and making us with these virtual friends and companions.
Yeah.
And we're made for that.
But also, one of the first proponents of AI was Pope Benedict, who used it to pick out his outfits.
I think that time will tell.
Yes.
I have no idea. We on this show, within really the way this show moves with change, we waited 10 seconds before we started incorporating AI into our video, into our audio, into our content, into everything.
As a tool. I don't think the AI has replaced anything that we do.
What we're doing right now, I don't see any way of how that can be generated by AI.
I have had ChatGPT try to generate a 3-minute bit for us, and it's laughable. It just doesn't even come close to being something that sounds...
I'm very curious about that. When you say a 3-minute
bit... I said... ChatGPT, generate a 3-minute script for Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara, and Josh Sroka in the style of the Mike O'Mara Show, where everyone plays a part. And it comes up, and it's rotten.
Did you have a topic?
No, I let it choose a topic.
Rob, I think we need to take that script and try it out on the bonus show.
Okay, what? I have deleted it, but I will generate
No, I want to make it more fun.
Okay.
And you are Rob Spiewak. You are the man for this.
Okay.
Because you'll be able to. I think with AI, we've all discovered that it is the type of question you throw into it. All the people say, you got to know what to ask AI to help you out.
Yeah.
I would love you to. It's not going to work with him, though. Looking at Josh.
You're going to have to do a 2-man show.
It's going to have to be you and me.
Yeah.
He'll muck it. This is, as much as I love the guy, he will muck it up if he does this. He cannot. You and I do an exchange that's like a 1930s gangster movie or detective, film noir detective.
But you're giving it. I think then you're giving it too much.
You have to.
You can't open it's a tool. You can't open up Photoshop and just tell it to draw something.
I will do a gangster one, and then I will also do one that says in a modern hot talk style, and I'll give it a topic.
No, that way we can have two of them. You don't understand it yet. Let me tell you what you do.
Okay.
And by the way, you know the type of movies I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so you plug in that movie.
Okay.
And you can even mention the principal characters. But the subject will be Josh, Rob, and Mike on the Mike O'Mara Show. And you and I can just be a couple of gangsters talking about show's about.
It's the guys from Peaky Blinders.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do.
All right. I'm going to do.
Let me do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. It'll work better if I do it. I really will. I will do it. You just give me a classic like your Jimmy Cagney, Edward G. Robinson.
You want to probably ape the movie Angels with Dirty Faces.
That's fine. There we go. That's all I need. We should rock and roll with that.
I think one that AI would be better for would be the Southern Bells bit that we never got to.
Okay.
AI could probably naturally write
that. The dead horse is called Josh. He says stop.
I know. I'm trying to help.
Look, the idea.
I did see AI, Starbucks and I believe it is Domino's have canceled their AI programs because they've just caused more issues. Starbucks had AI for inventory.
Starbucks had AI for your person at the window.
Yeah, the window, the order guy, right?
Well, sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then I believe it was Domino's or Pizza Hut. It's one of the Pizza Hut chains. Says that the AI they rolled out allowed DoorDash drivers to screw everything up because they game the system.
Good.
So now they've canceled it as well.
Good. And that's where it. Look, It's like anything else. It's not going to work for everything. When I got our first, and by the way, if they were thinking they were going to fool people, you immediately know when you go to the Starbucks window that you've got an AI voice on the other side, you know? And it was terrible. It was terrible because then you get to the window and everything has to be adjusted. It sucked.
I think it was terrible on purpose to try to drive us all to use the app and order before we get there.
And a note to our friends at Chick-fil-A, since we're talking about drive-in windows.
Yes.
Really happy that you had the remodel for 6 months. Really happy that you created the little awning where the people stand there and take your orders with their things, and really, really want to say that you didn't do dick to speed up your ridiculous line by doing. I have no idea what the purpose was.
It looks like they're doing more because you're talking to a real person in the wind and the snow or the heat with an iPad.
No, that's what they want you to think. Is when you see the guy coming out with my kid's food and my Diet Coke and walk by my car, and then in back of me, because I got the window cracked down, I hear, Mike?
Oh, God.
And then I'm looking at his ass as he bolts by back to the window.
The problem is, Mike, is you have not yet tried the frozen creamy lemonade.
I did.
You did? And your take?
Of course. You mentioned ice cream. He went right to Chick-fil-A.
I did.
It's great, isn't it?
No.
What?
The cream, ice cream citrus mixture has to be orange and not lemon.
I don't know. I think to me it suggested like a key lime.
I loved it. I don't care for it. Don't care for the lemon. I'm not a lemon person. You know that. I don't like lemon. It was not my
That's your Mike, pleasure.
I am a lemon person.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, you've driven a few of them, right?
Hey, but you know.
Bada bing. So Euphoria. If you're a fan, run to it. It's fantastic. Mm. If you're not a fan, I don't know what to tell you because you really kind of have to know what the plot line's all about.
Start at episode one. It won't take you that long to binge.
You know what's great? And here's the last thing I will tell you that's great about Zendaya. And I'll give Sydney Sweeney a little bit on this too.
Okay.
You got two beautiful young actresses that have the chops to do whatever they want to do. I think Zendaya... the world is her oyster, and I hope we see her in feature films, in limited series. I don't care where. I think she is a national treasure. I think she's absolutely magnificent, and they all deserve a lot of credit come Emmy time, I hope. So that's
what I think they're
going to
walk away with a dozen of them.
It really was.
It happens when the show is over, and they're definitely over, so they'll want to honor.
Got a little one of these right at the end of the show. Got a little one of these. She has a smile. Here's the thing with this. Shut up. It was. I'm talking about a tear. Okay. She has, and they allude to it in the script of the show. She has a smile that is, shut up. F you. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm just trying to emote. I'm in a good mood today.
What about her smile? What about her smile?
It's beatific. It's very, very sweet, and it makes you warm. And then they use it at the end of the show. My God, I can't say enough about Euphoria. You know, everybody's like, people are mad because they can't. They're fictitious characters, assholes. Yeah. Please, don't get upset about
it. And we're not requiring you to watch it. If you don't care
JLP
for it,
Design
shut up.
Says, tried it yesterday, outstanding. Is he talking about Euphoria or the lemon creamsicle thing?
Probably the lemon thing.
I think the lemon.
And then one of our listeners, this is when I know I've gone too heavy, when one of our listeners says, nice beaver.
All right, that's like a change of scene for them.
It's like what?
A change of scene.
And scene. We got to take a break. Do we have a thing that I have to go here? Yep. We have a thing I have to go to, and then we have tidbits for you right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. Thank you. Friends, a quick warning. Beware of the takers. You know the type. They listen to the free show Monday through Thursday and give nothing back. Tisk, tisk. For shame. But us, We're different. We're the givers. We give you the bonus show every Friday. We've got the goods, unfiltered, unrestricted, all access and fun. Because more access means more laughs. You deserve the good stuff, the extra stuff. We're talking TMOS extras. Unpredictable bonus content you won't find anywhere else. Or go big with the commercial free feed, complete with the bonus show every single week. Sign up today because your bonus subscription keeps this whole party rolling. You fuel the fun and we keep it coming. So smash that bonus show tab at MikeOMaraShow.com and jump in. The water's fine. Be a giver. It feels great. And the laughs are guaranteed. You see, I found it after the commercial.
Nice beaver.
There it is.
Oh, let me play it loud the way it ought to be said.
Nice beaver.
How about even louder? Can we do that, please?
Nice beaver.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Hit the music, Slim. We're all set to go here.
Beaver.
We start today with the Trump administration.
Now, yes. Donald Trump is still in power, and Mike, he was elected once, and then he wasn't president, and then he was reelected, and he is our current president. That's what's up with him.
Yes.
Thank you.
Speaking
Thank
of
you
for narcissism.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How come I can't play my whoosh? I just played the nice
You beaver. Played the whoosh
nice
in the
beaver.
That's
What
not
do
it.
I keep doing to this goddamn keyboard? Stop it.
Is whoosh on the same bank as nice beaver?
Yes.
Then they should both play, no?
No, yes, no.
No, yes, no.
This is really starting to frustrate
You want me to whoosh for you?
You'll have to.
Okay, here we go.
I'm obsessive compulsive that way.
I know, and I know you hate it, but at least we can keep the sound there.
The Trump administration permanently canceled its proposed $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund. I love the name of it. After facing severe bipartisan backlash from Congress and immediate legal defeats in federal court. Originally created as part of a settlement to drop a lawsuit against the IRS in exchange for tax audit immunity. That's a... Trump's tax audit immunity.
Now, I'm just curious. Is it common in American history for the current administration to have a lawsuit to be settled with the IRS? Did that happen to Millard Fillmore?
I don't believe it did, and I don't believe you're settling with an organization where you have named the head of the department.
Yeah, that helps.
Sounds just a wee bit hinky to me.
Sus, Mike. The kids would call it sus.
The taxpayer fund was intended to provide financial compensation and legal fee coverage to political allies claiming to be victims of past government lawfare.
Lawfare?
That's what they call it.
Is that like warfare?
No, yeah. it was supposed to split the money up to the January 6th people.
Yes, the program was abruptly abandoned within 2 weeks because congressional Republicans revolted alongside Democrats refusing to pass critical border funding bills out of a unsupervised fund that would be paid out to January 6th defendants. They said, no, we're not doing that. While federal judges, it happened on the legal front too, they ordered an investigation into whether the deal constituted fraud. So the good news is that's kaput. Republicans and Democrats didn't like that at all.
That doesn't count for good news. I'm just so sick and tired of everything. I don't like the fact that every time I see a story anywhere, I feel the need I have to double check it because who knows? Who knows what's going on now? And if it sounds unbelievable, it's true. And I'm tired of it.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah. Why is it always true? I think that everybody ganged up and said, you can't do this. And that's all there is to it. Okay. Here we go. I found it.
No, I did that.
Oh, shit. Right.
That's my language.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right. Wait a minute. I'm obsessed. I am obsessed with that. I know. Josh is almost shaking his head in anger at me right now.
Rob shouldn't have said it was him. You would have never known.
All right, play
if
it again,
he could
please.
Just press the button at the same time.
The
but
music
Mike
world.
Is so fleet with his fingers, I couldn't do that.
The music world is mourning legendary singer and songwriter Peebo Bryson. You a fan?
Of all the, he's probably my top five singers named Peebo.
He passed away peacefully on Tuesday at the age of 75, surrounded by his family, best known for his powerhouse vocals on timeless chart-topping duets like Beauty and the that remember that tale is old as time.
100%, yeah. I mean, gorgeous voice.
A Whole New World. Mm-hmm. The Grammy winner's decades-long career leaves a massive permanent imprint on classic R&B and adult contemporary. I worked that format.
Yeah.
Adult contemporary music. Always hated the name of it. Hey, what format do you work? Adult contemporary.
I was reading his obit and I was surprised. I always thought it was A-hole New World. But it's not A-hole.
A-hole New World.
That's not what it is.
Thank you.
Okay, new swoosh.
All right, I got... that's you, right?
Right. Did you hit it at the same time?
See?
I hit it and it says pause.
Hit it again. Or is there a pause button at the bottom of your screen that you have to untick? Like a play instead of pause?
Let me see. Hold on a second. I'll
a
figure this out.
A whole new world.
Right.
Lots T-Bone. Of duets. Yeah.
God, I hate this.
No, you love it. You love it. It's
I
great.
Hate it. I'm
no.
really obsessed.
You
I'm
mustn't
really
be. You
I'm
mustn't
sorry.
Be.
Listeners, totally irresponsible. Hit the thing and I'll stop it for the rest of the show.
Okay. That's a lie.
With AT&T Stadium preparing to host an unprecedented number of matches for FIFA for the World Cup 2026, mm-hmm. Opera Arlington, that's the name of it, Opera Arlington, it's Arlington, Texas, has completely rewritten the classic opera Carmen.
It's a good opera.
The company has officially swapped out the iconic bullfighter character, Escamillo, and transformed him into a star Olympic soccer player to capitalize on local sports hype. That's all I know. I can't give you any more.
Are you familiar at all with the opera? I know the, some of the music.
I mean, are they trying to just, is this a marketing gimmick? What is it?
Probably.
It's marketing, but I'm still trying to figure out why nobody cares about the World Cup when we're hosting it like this weekend.
You know, Josh, it's interesting with soccer around the world because is the World Cup like the Olympics every 4 years? Is that the way that that
something
goes?
Like that?
But it's something but like, and it was the huge US the last time they had it. Right?
The U.S. held it in the '90s, and it was a huge big deal mm-hmm. that we had the World Cup.
Do you think it's because we're more fragmented as far as what we consume?
I think
it's because it's a suck sport. That's
wait, I was asking Josh. Hold on a second.
I think it's fragmentation. I think it's narcissism. I think it's the lack of pride in our country.
Yeah.
To even cheer for the Team USA or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also not just, we're programmed
When we do a sports story, you can't keep it in your pants. You are chomping to say something disparaging about sport.
What I'm saying is this, is I think as Americans, we're programmed to watch a sport that has more predictable, mechanical action and scoring. It couldn't be any more different than football.
That's the other problem with the World Cup is soccer has never been bigger in this country than it is right now.
As far as kids playing
it. As far as kids
high
playing
schools,
it, people watching it.
Yeah. I don't get it because you're right. I remember it being a thing.
It was a
I
big remember, deal.
Yeah, I do too.
I watched World Cup soccer. I tried. I couldn't.
I did. Mike, and you know that although I don't necessarily set my schedule around it, I can watch a baseball game. I watch a hockey game. I can watch a football game. I don't like soccer. I don't see it.
Like soccer, how the clock doesn't really mean anything. Like the clock runs out and there's stoppage time and no one knows what the true stoppage time is. So it can just end at any point.
My least favorite thing mechanically about the game is at the end. And I'm talking about not the players and not the game itself, but at the end when it's the time clock and it just ends. And then you kind of like ease into this knowledge that the game is over and that's
it. Right.
I don't like it. Like I like a heart.
Yeah.
Where's
me
the
too.
Buzzer?
Yeah.
That's where's my customer. Buzzer, Rob? Where's my buzzer?
That's a swoosh, not a buzzer.
Mattel and Duncan have officially launched a massive national summer collaboration.
Is it a dark Barbie doll you can eat?
It is the Barbie pink strawberry cold foam.
Ugh.
Oh, no. I'd try it. I would try it.
No,
I like strawberry.
No, yeah, but Duncan is just such a bad outfit.
It's a Starbucks move to have
it
the
is. Different.
They've got the purple unicorns and stuff.
And cold foam, the kids are all talking about it. Cold foam. It is specialized, vibrant pink beverages that they're doing at Dunkin'. The neon tinted menu items are immediately taking over social media feeds as the premier consumer lifestyle aesthetic of the season.
They're also coming out with a Ken's Brown Juice.
Well, that's the bucket.
Tastes like Ken.
Oh, Ken.
Ken. Tastes like him. We need it. Hollywood's newest high. Very good. He's like doing it on his own there. Hollywood's newest high profile couple is Kendall Jenner and Euphoria actor and Rob Spiewak favorite, Jacob Elordi. They are. Hey, Rob. You're going to love this because you were asking me just the other day.
Yeah.
You said, Mike, are they escalating their relationship?
I remember I called you on the phone and I said, Mike, about that relationship, are they escalating it?
After spending last week together, where do you think they spent last week together?
I know where he spent it.
Inside Kendall.
That's right. No, I'll guess probably Provo, Utah.
No, Rob, you're wrong. You were so close. Together in Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii's a beautiful... That's an island state.
The couple confirmed they have officially flown out to Tokyo.
Is that code?
I don't know. That cements their status as pop culture's premier jet-setting duo.
Yeah, you know what? Put on some chapstick and kiss my ass, because I don't care.
I might be inclined to agree with you on that one. Finally today, former House of Representatives Systems Administrator Christopher Sutherland has been indicted. You know why?
Why?
He stole over $150,000 worth of government-issued cell phones.
No, don't do that, Sutherland.
He's an IT employee. He ordered 240 extra devices to his house.
Devices.
What an idiot. And he sold them on eBay, but forgot to wipe the memory. He's such a moron.
So did Jacob Elordi.
The scheme instantly unraveled when a buyer turned on a phone, called a preloaded contact number, and reached the House IT help desk in Congress. And they alerted police and said, there's an idiot to be caught, and watch the season finale of Euphoria. Yay! Oh, my God.
Hey, but you know what? To be fair, at least he got his phones. Like, the Trump phone still hasn't delivered.
Yeah, I know. Smart guy. Oh, my God, you haven't booked your TMOS cruise yet? You haven't done that? What's wrong with you? It's time to change that. You said you wanted a better price, a longer trip, and more notice. Done. Done. Join me, Rob, Josh, and your fellow Americans aboard the all-new Margaritaville at Sea Islander, sailing January 21st, 2027. It's just around the corner. No, it's not. Enjoy. You said
closer
you wanted more
than
notice.
Ever before. Yeah.
Enjoy 5 days and four nights of laughs, a live podcast recording, meet and greets, tropical weather in the dead of winter, and plenty of time to unwind. Oh, you need this.
You do.
It departs from Tampa. You'll get two relaxing days at sea, a Saturday stop in beautiful Cozumel, and one final chill day before heading home Monday. And yes, there's swag.
Yes.
And Josh Soroka puts together amazing gift bags. You can eat. Every guest gets a TMOS gift bag. Call 800-814-7100. Full details are at TMOSpodcast.com. Just click store. Book now before the best cabins are gone. Lock in your price and we will see you on deck. I'll be inebriated from the beginning. I'll be inebriated in the line, checking my bags through the entire thing. I'm going to have a rolling buzz going on throughout. You'll see me in the hall.
It'll be different than last time.
It will.
Yep, because I was kind of careful.
Well, most of the time, last cruise, if we saw you, you were looking for Michael.
I was. And Mrs. O'Mara will be in tow on this one. So I'll be just like going, look, I use a 5-iron now. I don't know. What's going on like that?
And this is Mike talking to the captain.
Wasted away again at Margarita.
And of course, you can find Josh in the tattoo parlor.
Yes. Oh, Do they really have one?
Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah. Save it for the last day because you probably shouldn't go swimming with a fresh tattoo.
I don't know. I know the whole tattoo thing is leaving me cold a wee bit. All right. Let me see. So many things on cognitive tests online.
Okay. Have you fallen into that trap?
Well, I probably, by the way, there are a million of them.
Yep.
But the one that I fell into last evening, or maybe was it this morning? No, last evening, was a senior skewing test, where if you are worried about your cognitive abilities, this test will show you whether there are any warning signs, and then it ends up being kind of an IQ test.
Do you think question 10 is the same as question 1? Just to see
if you
remember.
Keep starting it over.
I think that they give you a word at the very beginning of the test,
yep,
and then they ask you to remember that word maybe 7 or 8 questions into the test.
What's the word?
It was on the test last night. I still remember it. It was cognitive.
Well, that's almost. It sounds like they're not trying.
Well, they're not. They're trying to keep you entertained for 20 minutes.
But I didn't sign up.
So when they ask
up.
For $2, you pay for it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but the thing is I've done these before for IQ, and I think I've done the cognitive one as well. You invest like 15, 20 minutes, and you think you're almost at the end. That's when they hit you up for the money.
Right.
And you're so invested, you say, I can't stand not sending them $5.
So the fact that my IQ score was given at the end, the fact that I paid $1 to get my IQ score means I'm actually a low IQ person.
It doesn't help.
Right?
No, but I don't think that affect your IQ.
I did the same thing about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And because I agreed to do that IQ test. So I said, I need to know a little bit about what I'm getting into.
How did the online one compare to the one that you took for a
completely different.
Completely different.
When I did the real IQ test that was proctored, it was nothing like online. It wasn't the same like little matching things and memories and words. It was more like explain words and do this math.
Can you remember anything specifically, or is it all gone?
From the online or from the real one?
I have my results.
Oh, Mike has his results. Okay.
I have my results. Okay. Cognitive assessment report. Your complete test results, including IQ score, cognitive profile, global rankings, and detailed performance analysis. All right.
All right.
So in the middle is why they put this in the middle of the big pie graph that I have,
right,
or the chart that I have.
Graph.
No, I would not like to share feedback, assholes. Pop-up ads. God damn it. Come on. All right. Better than, it says here that my IQ score was 124.
That's very good.
It says that I am better than 95%. In a room of 100 people, you'd likely outperform 95% of them.
We can do this experiment on the cruise.
Your IQ score. Now, Josh, didn't you do it with Chad up at the show?
Yes, that's what I was just saying. I did a proctored one for Chad. But I did a My IQ like online one on January 17th because I just found my score from the internet one I can compare to the real life one.
All right, 124 is mine. What's yours?
In real life, 125.
Okay.
When I did this internet thing, 130.
Okay. All right. So
you guys are real close regionally.
Yeah. Let's say 124. This places you in the above average cognitive range. You know, when I see the word cognitive, I'm thinking in terms of, whether I'm going to keep all my buttons. Plus 24. You scored 24 points higher than the general population average. I'm suspect that it's 124, the IQ score, and then 24 points higher. That seems like a random.
No, I think 100 is the average, right?
Yeah, it's all based on 100. 100 is the average score.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So and then I know that you're dumb.
For cognitive testing, you should do it about every 2 months, like our president. Because that means that everything's okay.
Now, all Mike.
Right. Yeah,
you're looking at an email that they sent you.
Yes, my IQ.
Okay, scroll. Yeah, I've got the same email from January 17th when I did it.
Okay,
you got to scroll all the way to the bottom.
Okay, I'm going
because
all the
there's
way.
A warning. Your 7-day trial has been charged for $1.
Okay,
if you don't cancel, this subscription automatically charges $30 each 28 days. Beginning for me, it was January 24th. So make
did
sure
you cancel right
cancel
away
immediately. I canceled immediately.
Good, so you saw that.
Yeah, that's why I'm warning Mike.
Yeah, you got to get out of there,
Mike. I can't figure out how to do it. With my 124 IQ.
Well, 125 are the people that know how to cancel.
This is interesting, though. It really is. See how you performed in each of the 25 questions. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that well, in my opinion.
Does it mention one that you missed?
If these are my answers, hold on. Oh, there it is. Yep, there it is with the advanced mode, unlock your global standing. Are these real rankings? Historical figures similar IQ scores to me.
Yes.
Okay.
Abraham Lincoln.
Kid Rock.
All right. See how you performed on each of 25 questions. Is this real, Josh? Is this this is me.
I mean, it's real.
19 of 25 correct. 76% accuracy. Total time 10 minutes and 52 seconds.
Oh, I didn't know they timed
you. My time. By the way, I'm the old test taker where if you don't know, you guess and you move on.
Okay.
That's the way I test.
I'll tell you, on the real life one takes about an hour when I had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a big deal that I finished faster than everyone else. Oh. That I knocked it out in about 45 minutes.
I'm Josh. I finished fast.
Well, I assume I failed because I finished fast.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So you have to take it tonight and come in with your scores tomorrow.
Yeah. Who? Okay. Right? I didn't know what you were talking about.
My Chateau Interrupto, who interrupts every single
Would you relax? You've been talking to Josh. You've been talking to Josh the whole time.
Why would I say to Josh, you have to take it, and I'm looking right at you, and it's like...
Actually, on my screen, you were looking at Josh. So, yes, I will take it.
I'm looking at both of you.
Rob took it. 88.
Stop it. Did not take it.
95%. I will get that. I will get that right out. The cancellation.
Yeah, please cancel that. Because how they get you.
See how each cognitive skill translates into real world. This everybody's done. Fluid reasoning helps you solve. Blah blah blah. Okay.
Does it actually recap the ones you got right and wrong? I'd like to hear one that you got wrong. I'm curious.
I don't know if they got the itemized questions here. Right. It just tells you how many you got wrong.
Okay.
Richard Feynman. Excelled in breaking intricate problems into
from. Who is Richard Feynman?
He's one of the guys that I matched up with.
Oh, okay.
All right, 76. All right, let me see.
So maybe we have lunch.
All right. Question 4 I got wrong, but it doesn't tell me which one that was. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it
Richard
does.
Richard Feynman won a Nobel Prize in physics.
Okay. Okay. So how did I screw that one up? All right. Okay. I got, it was one of the graph, where you have the little section that's put in there like that. I don't know why that determines IQ, but it does.
Oh, where you have to find like a pattern or what is the next missing block or something like that?
I was not doing this to find out if I was smart. I was doing this to find out if I'm losing my beans. That's
Are you
that's
satisfied with your answer?
I don't trust anything. I don't trust anything on this test whatsoever.
Paranoia is another sign of losing your marbles.
It's a decent answer, but we also know... It's a gimmick to get you to pay money.
And of course,
to cancel.
I'll make sure I do at the end of the show.
Question number 26. How did you feel about Euphoria?
Euphoria was fantastic. Oh, okay. Mock that because you don't have HBO.
No, I'm just doing a callback.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We can send the IQ test proctor over to your house, Rob.
Now, Josh,
I'd love to have him.
Explain. So, did your proctor score, was that close to your online score?
The online score was 130, proctored, which was 3 tests, I believe. Then they blended them all together. I got a 125.
Okay, so they are close.
So
all
pretty
right.
close.
Mm-hmm. All right, then there maybe there's value in this, right?
Yeah.
I think it's great. And let me make sure he knows. Rob,
yes?
I'm speaking to you now.
Huh?
Take this test and then bring your score in tomorrow.
Yes, of course.
And only take it once and don't cheat.
Mike, I would not cheat. And
you know
why?
Because I think you'd love nothing would make you happier than to come in and go, I'm 138.
Well, I mean, if it happens, it happens.
Now, what you need to do is when you get your email, there's a link that says go here to your certificate.
Okay.
And you can print out your certificate and bring it to us.
Well, I don't have a frame for it yet, but I will do that.
Yeah, I've seen the certificate too. We're all rude.
How much does the certificate cost?
Right? Don't they charge you for the certificate?
Of course, I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do. All right,
let's go. It's a little picture.
It's a tiny little picture you can
Here's my certificate.
All right.
That really does.
Certificate.
They don't charge you?
Put that
on
Facebook.
They don't charge you. Just click on that icon. Click on that certificate.
Or a screenshot.
Well, why is it always free. Then why does it bring up a credit card?
Oh no.
All right.
You gotta get the preferred.
I just clicked
the
on
certificate.
In the email it says click here to go directly to your certificate. I know I can't look at my past scores like Mike can because, or my
you've already
questions
canceled?
Because I canceled. But Mike, I can access my certificate.
Make sure you print out your certificate and not Abraham Lincoln's certificate.
All right, hold on. It's wait a minute. Share your results. All right. I'm sending it to Josh right now. All right. Thank you. All right. I've got my certificate. It'll be coming to you soon.
In a theater near you.
I'm done with this crap. I can't do it anymore.
You are so cognitively perfect, though. Congrats.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. What did you say? We'll join you in a second. But first, I want to tell you about our wonderful friends at Omaha Steaks. I love it. I love putting the frozen Omaha Steak burgers on my Blackstone. And then within minutes, I have phenomenal food. I am telling you that the steak burgers that they serve at Omaha Steaks that they provide you with, there is a better quality of beef used, and I have never enjoyed it. And this is the truth. I've never had a burger that I could actually tell that they were different.
The brisket burger is insane. They're so good.
They make them out of filet, New York strip. The steak burger sale is officially on. They are just delicious. And they're not the type of things you get in the grocery store. No. These are big. They're thick. They're juicy. Steakhouse quality. They're made from filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, brisket, as Rob just mentioned, and sirloin. And they have a real steaky taste to them, which I love.
Good beef.
The kind of burgers that make your grill proud. For just $99.99, you get 20 huge 6-ounce steak burgers plus 8 free Wagyu smash burgers. That's 28 delicious reasons to blaze it up. They go straight from freezer to grill to your face. It is delicious, and it's delivered right to your front door. No mystery meat, no corners cut, premium beef, and pure backyard glory. Your taste buds will thank you. Get ready for grilling season with the mouthwatering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, including 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers. That's 28 burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, and as a bonus, use promo code Mike to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code M-I-K-E. Rhymes with like, and I like you. Terms apply. See the site for details. And it's Omaha. The coffee, I had coffee mouth there.
Those smash burgers, man, they only take like 2 minutes to cook.
smash burgers, Jack.
Jack, I tell you what, that's a good outfit.
I'm telling you, I got an Uber notice here today as I was going through my...
No, that's German. It means over.
Ride-sharing service Uber has now officially released its annual Lost and Found Index. This reveals that distracted passengers. It's not about an Uber being dirty because of the driver or the vehicle. And Josh said he's been in dirty Ubers before.
Uber's gone way downhill.
I never have.
If you don't get the black Uber black, it's dropped.
Always to like, color with him.
You pick up in a dirty Honda Accord with no air conditioning.
Okay, you've traveled more recently than either Rob or I have, and so
I was taking him 2 a day when I was in Miami.
And, oh, you were? So you're taking when you were in Miami, you took them
all over the
daily.
Place. All right, yeah, I mean, they were always clean. Sometimes they had water. They seem to love big lifesavers if they're going to offer you a mint. That seems to be their go-to treat.
Washington, D.C. has the worst Uber drivers.
Are you saying like big, oversized
lifesavers? Yeah, like about the size of a quarter, but they're individually wrapped.
My wife has those in her salon.
But knockoffs. In any case, I thought they were exceptionally clean. Very nice.
Let's see. They revealed the distracted passengers left behind an incredibly bizarre, highly suggestive, and outright gross collection of items in the back seats of vehicles this year. Alongside standard items like keys and wallets, the official list of forgotten belongings features an active police ankle monitor.
Those aren't easy to take off, are they?
I don't know.
But it's Here's a nice one. Move because the police just follow the car.
How'd you like to be on the way to the airport and find a batch of frozen breast milk?
Oh.
Hello.
I bet it wasn't frozen when he found it.
Then several pieces of intimate adult toys.
Pieces?
That were left rolling around on the floorboard.
You know, back to the ankle monitor. The cops are looking at us. All this guy does is go to the airport.
What's the matter with this guy? I will tell you this, that this goes back so many years. My niece was little. You know, she was like Michael's age, and I took her from the suburbs of New York in to see a Broadway show. And I remember getting an actual, not a cab, not an Uber. This was more like a town car
that car was
used
like.
For car service. Oh, you guys have frozen on me.
We lost
bit.
Your video.
Yeah, we lost your video.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
But your audio has been precise the whole time.
Wow, everything Bristol. Is locked up. You know that things are, they're just not working for me today. I'm not sure what's going on.
Just get out on the road.
All right. I should.
This happens to people with IQs that are lower than Josh.
God, I can't even click out. I can't even use my mouse.
And you're going to have to do a hard reset.
He's gone. You heard that little click? That had to be his computer shutting down.
So why do you, and what do you cite the DC Uber drivers for being the worst for? I'm curious.
Smell.
Okay.
And lack of air conditioning.
Okay, lack of air conditioning, that's not acceptable at all.
No, and that adds to the smell.
Of course.
And just old cars where I'm like, how is Uber even approving this car to drive?
Whenever I would take a cab, my one of my problems was always the beaded seat cover. I never liked that in a cab.
Yes. That's for him, not you. You don't.
Yeah,
sit
but
on
still,
the
beater. It always seemed to go hand in hand with a bad cab because I did a lot of cab travel when we were in New York.
Well, it's always with a guy who sits in the car all day, and somehow that's true. Supposed to make it better.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mike did move on for the IQ test before I was able to pull up his certificate.
Oh, well, that's nice. 110?
Yeah. See, I made one for you too.
Thank you. 88. Beautiful. Well, send that right away. Now, I think that the thing about Uber drivers, they are better about talking your ear off than cab drivers are.
I told you I have an Uber driver that I took here when my car was in the shop.
Right.
And he picked me up, asked what I do for a living. Uh-huh. I mentioned I'm a podcaster. I then sat in his car for 45 minutes while he played me clips of his podcast.
And told what was me his, about podcast? His podcast?
It was a drinking podcast. I think it might have been a bourbon podcast. It was either bourbon or whiskey. And
that's
it was
what you want from your driver.
Giving reviews.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what I want from my Uber driver is for him to sit there and play on his phone, pulling up YouTube clips to show me his podcast, and for me to have to pretend I am impressed with his work.
I mean, you couldn't shut him down?
I tried.
Did you?
I tried.
I mean, were you really, really direct about it?
Well, it was awkward because the first thing is he mentions that he lives in my community. So now it's like, oh, I might run into this guy at the pool.
Did you ask him about if he decorates his yard?
I did not, but he then transitioned. And when he got tired of talking about his bourbon podcast, he told me about another guy who's really big on YouTube that lives in the neighborhood for his turtles. And how he is the turtle guy, and
he's a turtle influencer.
And the turtle guy are these two YouTube influencers in the neighborhood. So then he was telling me about the turtle guy. And
did you think up until that ride you were the biggest YouTube and podcast influencer in your neighborhood?
Oh, I
now you've got some competition. Well, did you check how many followers does he have?
I have not checked them out.
I would say the turtle guy is probably more successful.
I bet the turtle guy is probably. The turtle guy seems like something that could really grow and be a big deal.
But I also think he might have bodies in his basement.
Well, the turtle guy. You gotta feed the turtle something.
Well, no, I think
can bury anything.
I think they're largely vegetarian.
Yes.
Hey, look who's back.
That just blew up on me completely. Absolutely blew up.
Mike, would you rather follow a podcast about bourbon or turtles?
Boy, the show, I leave and all of a sudden this happens.
Well, I was saying I took a 45-minute Uber ride where the guy just told me about his podcast that he does about bourbon and how the neighbor has a YouTube channel about turtles.
When we were talking before, I was just about to get to the fact that I took my niece in New York in this town car.
Right.
As soon as we sit down, and we get underway, by the way.
Yeah.
Overwhelming smell of vomit.
Vomit. I would take BO over vomit.
Somebody had booted in the car, and it hadn't been properly cleaned. It was so disgusting, and it was the entire and it just didn't go.
It was the guy
well.
Mike who played Rum Tum Tugger in Cats at the Winter Garden.
It was nasty. It was pure nastiness.
I feel for Uber drivers that have to deal with that.
But the thing is,
I would not do nighttime pickups if I was an Uber driver.
Look, I think the whole thing, it's scary. It's scary. Yeah, I do it. If I was going to do it, I would do daytime. But at the same time, it just, you never know. You never know. It's scary. It's always been scary. You know, cab drivers always been scary. That is, too. You know, and you never know. You never know really what you're going to experience when that happens.
The weirdest cab driver I ever had was in New York, and he talked for about 20 minutes about all the people. He was very racially specific about all the people that were ruining the city.
Oh, and then we got to New Orleans.
No, this was New York.
Okay,
and then we got to a red light. He stopped. I remember because for a moment he put it in park at the red light and he turned around through the glass window and he says, "Tell me, my friend, do you play the fool?" I said, "I don't know."
Wow.
Did he lock the doors at the same time?
Yeah, I think he did. All right, he did.
We have to take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, you got some tidbit video for us?
Do
you
have something? That? One thing that I would really like your take on that is sort of appropriate to your age. I think you will enjoy it.
Oh, something about Abraham Lincoln and the Gettysburg Address.
1976, Mike. Spirit of 76.
But first, I want to tell you about Amazon. Amazon is now a partner with the Mike O'Mara Show. We're happy to be a part of the Amazon group like we were years and years ago. It's very, very simple. You can go to tmospodcast.com, and there's a button there for Amazon. And all we ask that you do is do your Amazon shopping and do it through our homepage. That's it. That's as simple as it gets. Anything I'm leaving out, Josh, since my copy was lost by my dog?
Go to tmospodcast.com and click on the Amazon button.
Please do that. It would really help the show. And, it is now reteaching our audience to use that portal to get to Amazon. And folks, it is a difference maker for us. If you can please just make it automatic, get back in the habit of doing it. And the cool thing about it this time is once you go through our page, you're not starting fresh. It takes you to your Amazon stuff, the stuff you're going to reorder, the paper towels, anything.
One click.
You know?
That's it.
One click and it works. And I think that's pretty much it, right, Josh? I'm not leaving anything out?
No, you've got it right. If you click on it on your phone, it'll open straight into the Amazon app.
All right, very good. Thank you. And thank you for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show by shopping through our page with Amazon for everything you want when you're doing your shopping.
That. Some beautiful video.
Beautiful.
Jerry Todd.
Mike, I'm sorry I stepped on you.
Jerry Todd.
No problem. What I meant to do was that. Mike, think back to 1976. Can't believe it was 50 years ago. I remember it.
I was a junior. I was a junior in high school.
Did everyone you know and their parents and their kids have the album Frampton Comes Alive?
It was it was iconic. The
amazing
Boston
album.
The Boston album, Frampton Comes Alive. Billy Joel, Piano Man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that was around that same time.
Elton John, and
Elton
I know
John.
That. I think Silly Love Songs was Paul's album.
Discotex and the Sexolettes.
But
go ahead. I'm
Josh,
sorry.
Do you know anything of Peter Frampton?
The name.
Okay.
Can I do a little?
Out.
Can I do a little
please.
Nonverbal?
Please.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
Meow. Meow, 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 meow.
The mouth tube pedal effect on his guitar so he could make it talk. I wanna thank you.
Good time.
But it was an amazing album. But I'm really excited. This is not going to streaming. I think this is going to a theater first. They're doing a documentary on Frampton, and I think it's a little overdue.
He was the guy on the rocket that was going where no other rocket had gone.
There was no doubt that the most influential artist at that period of time was Peter Frampton.
It was literally the summer of Frampton.
These girls went completely apeshit, and he'd become a teenage idol.
We used to play and get our clothes torn off, and they'd just climb in through the windows. It was fine for a couple of years.
He was my Taylor Swift.
Well, Pete could play, and that's what we've done ever since.
Peter Frampton was my first rock concert, and you don't forget that.
I guess it's like your first sexual experience.
Frampton Comes Alive.
It's really hard to quantify how massive that record was.
That's the definition of what a live recording, a live show should sound
like. Well, this is the peak of rock, right here.
I wonder how you're feeling.
I think that album really showed off his guitar play.
It left all of us kind of flat-jawed and like, wow.
You don't realize what the onslaught is like until you're number one in the world. And that's when the shit hit the fan.
Frampton, when Rob was talking about that documentary, playing that tiny little clip there, when I think of his meteoric rise to stardom and that that's all we were listening to, well-deserved. You go back and listen to that music now, and that music to me is absolutely deserved of what he got, of all the credit that he got. Overplayed? Oh, my God. Disgustingly overplayed. But still very, very cool. And, I mean, you burned out the vinyl. You listened to that album back in the day so much. That's how good it was.
So enough that now, years later, will you watch this documentary?
100%. Because I remember, you know, when you're a kid and you're listening to music, you're not processing what their careers are doing. You don't get in. And back in those days, in the 70s, we didn't get into the minutiae of what was happening with artists. Nobody thought about that. We just liked the music. And I loved it. Here's what I loved most about it. The crowd reaction. The crowd reaction it was the first live album that I adored because of the combination of both. And before that, I hadn't even heard of Peter Frampton. I wasn't even tracking with Peter Frampton. I know he played in some group beforehand. I think that's what the deal was, but it's iconic, and you could listen to cut after cut after cut on that album, especially
on the live
on the live album. And after that, same thing. Not much more after that. Not like Elton John. Not like Billy Joel. That was the one album that everybody talked about, and that was the one album that that everybody liked. So Bruins Rules mentions meteoric or mediocre, because I know there is a subset of people, not a subset, but there are people that diss Peter Frampton because he was so popular and he was so pop culture. That's the way that goes.
I pulled up his top songs, and I don't recognize any of them by title.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would know Show Me the Way if you heard it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Okay, bad peckers, Mike. You don't want to have a bad pecker, and mm-hmm. I think you'll like the accents in this piece. This is in Inverness, Scotland, and there's a critter on the loose that's causing a lot of trouble. It's a parakeet.
Angus Chisholm surveys the latest damage to his car. He's just one of dozens of people in this part of Inverness left facing big bills, all thanks to a peckish parakeet. For the past few months, the little green bird's been spotted stripping rubber from vehicles all over Lochardle and Coldethel.
Oh, it'd be nice if it was caught humanely and taken away, and obviously it's domesticated bird, so somebody could look after it. Putting a cover in your car is a solution, but any time you go,
nice
you're going to
take
the cover off, and it's not ideal. So now my car is so badly damaged.
Pause it for a second.
Yeah,
sure,
of course.
How un-American.
Oh, thanks.
How un-American is that response? How beautifully European
is that response?
Where in America, we'd be like, I've got to get my boom, 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 gun, 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 gun. That would be, there wouldn't be an American in the world. So I got to get a gun and kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it. Right?
Obviously, it was domesticated.
It's a shame they can't retrieve it and capture it and see that
parakeet.
It's taken care of. Yes.
For the past few months, the little green bird's been spotted stripping rubber from vehicles
all over Lochardle and Coldethel. Mm-hmm.
Well, it'd be nice if it was caught humanely and taken away. Obviously, it's domesticated bird, so somebody could look after it. Putting a cover in your car is the solution.
Look at the little bastard.
Cover off, and it's not ideal. So now my car is so badly damaged, I'm not sure it could do any more damage, so I'm just leaving it until I need to change my car, and then I'll get it fixed, by which time it will be resolved, hopefully.
It's estimated the parakeets caused thousands of pounds worth of damage, and many people have taken to covering up their cars.
Here's another
I was just in having my breakfast and I saw it nibbling away on the car. So, yeah, I was straight out chasing it away. But I don't know where it goes and I don't know how it survives.
So, Mike, all kinds of trouble in Inverness.
Obviously a domesticated bird that somehow escaped from a lady or something like that.
Yes. I hate birds because they're always causing trouble like
Nasty-ass
that.
Nasty-ass birds.
News. Bad news. Mike, if I say to you, dot big gal, what do you think?
Dot Big Al?
No, Dat Big Ga.
Dat Big Ga.
Yeah.
I got no idea.
It's all over socials. And this makes me mad because they're kind of spinning it like Kool-Aid pickles is a brand new thing. Kool-Aid pickles have been around in the South forever. That's where you take a jar of dill pickles and you add Kool-Aid and it makes them fruity and salty.
I've never heard of that. I'm not aware of this.
Yeah. But
well,
this
wait a minute. I've never heard of this. What? You make it sound like everybody knows like, this. I don't know this.
You said it's all over the South. I've never heard of this.
I have seen it on television as much as 10 or 15 years ago. So I've known about it. Maybe you take the briny, salty,
garlicky pickle and you surround it with like goofy grape or something like that?
I think traditional is cherry and then you have to add sugar. So it's the equivalent of sweetened Kool-Aid.
I think the difference is we don't have Kool-Aid in our algorithm.
Might be. Well, actually, what you might need in your algorithm is this kid, Dot Big Ga. His name is Bubba Harrelson. And this is going crazy because this is him trying Kool-Aid pickles for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Dot Big Ga.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate you, buddy. Yes, sir.
Dot Big Ga. I did some research, and Dot Big Ga means, and I quote...
I think it's Dabiga.
That bitch is tough, is
that
what...
Big Ga.
Well, they actually did a follow-up interview. When you want to get the answers, you want to find a good journalist to follow up. So here's the follow-up on Dot Big Ga.
All right, man. As y'all know, we done did like 11 million views on that Big Tug, that Big Ga video. And today, we came to pull up on the creator of that. We're going to ask him some questions, you know what I mean? First question I want to know, was it really tough in Gad?
Yeah, it was most definitely tough.
Okay, for sure. And how you feel about blowing up?
It's good, it's good.
It's good? And
yeah, got a whole bunch of fame, a whole bunch of people liking my shit.
Yeah. So, like, people be in the comments saying, like, you fake your voices. So is that true?
Nah, that's not for real how I talk.
For real?
For real.
Yeah. And another question, people like... You from Florida and stuff?
No, I'm from Wilmington.
Yeah, and what made you start talking like that?
I don't know,
because
that's how I grew up.
Yeah. Turn it on. God, it's just fucking annoying.
It's
God.
A bad interview. The
God
kid can't stay
damn,
still.
I don't want to do a bonus show now. My God, you've ruined the show.
The good news is the guy that was interviewing him is the replacement for Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes.
Yay, fantastic.
And
let's
I close
get
this
out
will,
here.
Mike,
oh, you're I'm, closing. All right, what?
This will make you happy.
Ay. What?
When you go to your favorite Iguanamia... And
sorry,
want,
folks. My apologies. Go ahead. Yes.
When you go to Iguanamia and you want to make sure you have the margarita to go, this lady takes it to a new level. She's pouring her margarita into one of those styrofoam to-go boxes for food.
Looks like Iguanamia.
And she's adding another margarita. And the rest from the carafe. She seals it. And puts a straw in it.
I can relate. I totally can relate. At least the music's not too loud.
And Mike, that's how you can be an alcoholic on
wow.
the go.
Thank you.
The music was added after.
Aye. We got to get out of here. We got a bonus show coming up. Thank you for listening. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Taroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody. I don't have a soundboard, so do your own thing, and we will be back next time. So long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.